I'm Liz Felter. I'm an extension agent for the University of Florida right here in Orlando. This research project was actually my dissertation. I finished in December. And it was eye-opening in the fact that I work with the nursery growers, and they were in the process. They had been cut 5% by the management district and another 5%, and they were talking about cutting them another 5%. But at the time I was running the research, I was actually working with homeowners, and I would drive home every day and see, hence the title of this, and that's how I ended up getting the topic to do this dissertation. So this is a qualitative study, and what that means is we did focus groups to talk to those people who are actually contributing to the problem. So we have a whole bunch of things happening here. We're very humid, and we get 54 inches of rain a year, but we get it all at once. And we have soil that doesn't hold the moisture. We live in Orange County here, which has 1.2 million people living in this county. And they had a water permit run out on 2013. And as the county still continued to grow, we were one of the few counties that even with the economic downturn, we still had population growth here. The only way they were going to have more water to that water utilities was to conserve water. So they have been working to go from 160 gallons down to 90. So we wanted to get the perception of homeowners that had automated irrigation systems about using community-based social marketing to reduce water on their lawn. So part of the research objectives were to determine the barriers to why they couldn't conserve and cut back on the water, what were the norms in their neighborhood, what would motivate them, and what kind of prompts and communications would they need to help them make this happen. And those are the four concepts that make up community-based social marketing. So the study was guided by the theory of planned behavior, which is done by Asian, the theory of diffusion of innovations by Rogers, and then two strategies, which is social marketing and then community-based social marketing. Social marketing came in about the 1970s, you know, to stop smoking campaign, and it heightened again when they were using it to with the AIDS campaign. So the theory of this, how the theory of planned behavior works, if you start with the behavior you want, and you work backwards, you can see all the intricate complications that can come into play when you're trying to change people's behavior. So you have to understand if they believe in that behavior, what the norms are, what are their neighbors doing, what are their friends and neighbors telling them to do, and if they control beliefs is all about whether they think they can control the new behavior or control what happens after they make the new behavior change. All of those things can be really scary for some people. Theory of diffusion. Here, diffusion for us wasn't actually a technology. It was actually asking him to make a behavior change in order to save water. And not everybody's willing to do that. So you have to figure out what's complicating their decision-making abilities or their ability to go from the decision into action. So, again, social marketing, we kind of talked about a little bit, but community-based social marketing is actually moving it a little further along and getting the community involved so that they buy into the fact that the change needs to occur and what the change is and how they have to behave. So they're actually building their own program. And again, when you put all four of them together, you start with what you want them to do, and work backwards. So actually you're starting with them as a single person, but you want them to become a community thinker, okay? All right, so what happened? So we had a list of nearly 8,000 people that were using 64% more water a month than they need to on their lawn. Really a lot of water. So with the help from the Orange County Utilities, we used a marketing research firm. They randomly organized the list, and then from the 8,000, we recruited people to be in focus groups. They screened them for age, gender, their income, their education levels. We had everything there, and they had to own their home. They were paid. The grant was a USDA block grant. They were paid $70 for their input, and research shows that if you pay them, they're more honest. So four sessions occurred. What 32 total participants represented, and those four sessions actually had four different homeowners associations represented. The individuals range from 25 to 79 years old, and they range from less than $20,000 to over $75,000 in income a year. We had all levels of education represented, and the cultural diversity was really nice for all four sessions. So we hired an outside moderator, and the reason we did that was because I'm too close to this project, and I don't want my voice inflections to key anybody to making an input statement in a different way. We were trying to really get their opinions. So this person read those very monotone, very flat, didn't really help them with anything. And we used questions to gather data for those four objectives. So what did we say? What kind of questions did we ask them? Well, we said, tell us what kind of yard you have. What would you change about it? Let's tell each other about how you handle watering your yard. How many times a week? How do you decide how often to water? For those who have used a timer, can you describe the process of setting the timer? Have there been difficulties using the timer? Can you describe any water conservation practices you do now? If you had a goal to cut outdoor water use, what do you think you'd have to do? All these kind of questions are in a roundabout way trying to get their feedback on how we can help them reduce their water use, right? So we continue with more questions. Can you describe any conservation practices? We have a duplicate on that. It must have been important. If you need to know if you knew how to cut your outdoor water use in half, just by using the timer, would you be interested? If it took more time to do that, would you still be interested? So we're trying to figure out, are they having a hard time with the clock? Is that why they can't turn the water off? Do they know how to use their timer? So in a roundabout way, we're trying to get some feedback about that. If you cut your water use in half, would you have concerns about what your lawn would look like? Okay? All right, so here's what came out of all those questions. And, of course, I had hundreds of pages of audio transcripts put into a Word document, and then we had to use a software program that helps us start seeing continuous themes that pop up. So major themes across all four sessions: pressure from their homeowner association to have perfect grass, number one problem. So even if they go to your extension workshops or anything that Home Depot would do, they're not going home and moving the education into action because they're scared of their HOA. Lack of knowledge on proper grass care, I thought that was coming. Confusion over what day to water. We have various water restrictions, and it changes when the clock changes. They still don't get that. There's confusion over what water resources are restricted. Some communities restrict reclaimed water, others don't. And that could be right across the street from somebody who can't use that water. And the inability to set their timer. So some sub-themes were frustration with the difficulty of lawn maintenance and unaware of the amount of water delivered by their system. How much water does your system put out? I don't know, I run it 15 minutes. They could tell you how much time, but you guys and I know, not every zone's going to deliver what you need, and the grass here only needs a half to three quarters of an inch of water. So what you do with qualitative is you actually get some quotes, and you don't clean them up, because that's your credibility, is to leave them the way they say them, is to back up what I've just said. So one participant said, I would be concerned about using less water. Yes, because if the lawn goes, then the homeowners gives you a ticket. Another participant, can you do anything about the homeowners association? Which produced a lot of laughter because everybody in the room was thinking the same thing. It was crazy. Another participant added, some of us don't have a choice. We've got bylaws. Thou shalt have St. Augustine grass. Okay? And the more people laughed about that because they, again, had the same thing going on. Another participant, one time our sprinkler broke and that area just got yellow and we got a letter from the association. Your grass is not green. You have to take care of that or there'll be a fine. Okay? Continuing. You have to water to keep St. Augustine green. I don't know when I'm restricted. I just do it. Does that apply with reclaimed water? What about wells? Lots of confusion here. Whenever the energy goes off, well, forget it. You have to reset that. And to be honest, I never know how to do it. It's very difficult. the one we have, I just don't know why it's so hard. You know, she just kept on. She was pretty interesting. I'll never forget her. She was highly involved with, she actually took on that responsibility, not her husband. I thought I turned that on and the water didn't come on, or I thought I turned it off and it was coming on. Just general frustration level. Then the notice comes from the HOA. And they'll send you a notice if it's running at the wrong time as well as the right time. All right, so what did they find out? What do their neighbors do? Well, they did what their neighbors do. And the neighbors were abiding by the restrictions. So if they were told to water twice a week, they watered twice a week. The other norm is have a nice lawn. All right, so some sub-themes that came from that was conserving water to them was following the restrictions. To me, it's turning the water off one of the 2 days, but not to them. Okay, they want us to use it 2 days a week, we're going to go for it. All right, and they also knew what was not conservation, and that's really kind of interesting. I abide by county rules kind of as the, you know, norm here, and that was the enforcement we had. I just try to adhere to the policies. Like sometimes if they say, okay, only water once a week or something like that, so I just try to adhere to the policy they have for water conservation. See, she automatically thinks that the restrictions are water conservation practices. When you see it raining hard in the median and stuff, they have the sprinklers on. That's not conservation. They knew that. They also went on to say that they are, when the heads get twisted and face the wrong way. The thing that has been happening in my neighborhood is the sprinklers are on during the day, so they know that that's the wrong time, because you're not supposed to water between 10 and 4. Okay? So, what we found was they had a positive attitudes toward water conservation. The participants' behaviors match their neighbors. They're not going to make their neighbors mad if they're in a homeowners association. They got to live next door to them. They perceived a lack of behavioral control because they were getting pressure from the HOA. The term self-efficacy or perceived behavior control would improve with the instruction from a class by extension or someone else. Okay? Their barriers, the big barrier was the homeowners association, was their biggest barrier to change. So basically, they're scared of getting the notice, they're scared of getting the fine, and then, God forbid, you could get a lien on your house, or you could be sued eventually for $150,000 using the HOA money you pay, your dues, okay? So there's a lot of problems here. HOA board members need to participate in a focus group to compare them to the homeowner responses we got. University of Florida Extension would need to be careful about their partnership, because we have a program that partners with HOAs, and when they see the email come from the HOA, they go, now what do they want me to do? They don't see University of Florida, they see the HOA. Extension would do well to adjust their program efforts by figuring out the barriers first, so that in the end, they could do a program that would document behavior change. That's it. I think I made my time. We probably have a question or two. Yes.
How did you determine those that were using more water than they should?
Dr. Michael Dukes was on my committee, who had this huge formula, who had been working with Orange County Utilities, and they plugged everybody in. They knew the size of the house, they knew the size of the square footage, and they knew how many people lived in the house and how much water should be used. And when they plugged all that in, anybody who landed above that ended up in the high water user. So we were able to get almost 8,000 people in one county on a list like that was big. So
you did that through Human Subjects Committee.
I did it. I sent it right through an IRB and piece of cake. It all worked perfectly. And I'd have everything. I mean, I have 200 pages of a dissertation. It's crazy stuff. But you know, we're all trying to make this shift, and we're trying to figure out what's going on. And if there's some, you know, if we know the HOA is part of the problem, then we need to figure out how to teach the HOA. So I actually have been funded. I just did the focus groups with the HOA, so we haven't even analyzed that. But hopefully next year I'll be able to present that, and we'll talk about their differences between the homeowners and they're really an interesting group. They're people who get in power and stay in power. They're people who've never had the power position before, and once they get there, they just hold on tight. So it's been interesting, very cool social science combination with a hard science background that I have to get them to come together and come up with this information. Anything else? Anyone else? I know I'm standing between you and happy hour, so it's a tough spot to be in, but thanks for toughing it out with me.